Hello, everybody. Welcome to Technology Services Success, sponsored by the CompTIA Technology Lifecycle Services Community.
I would like to welcome everyone to a three-part series about how to get the most out of your customer satisfaction. My name is Tanya Stone, and I'm the Vice President of Strategic Technology at Great America Financial Services. I'm also a member of the Technology Lifecycle Services Community, formerly ITSS, at CompTIA. At Great America, our mission is to help our customers be successful. But in order for that to happen, we need to understand what drives their satisfaction. To help us appreciate the various elements of customer satisfaction, I would like to introduce our guest speaker today, Jean Mork Bredesen.
Well, thanks, Tanya. Yes, I'm Jean Mork Bredesen, president of Service 800. And for almost 30 years, our company has been measuring service quality and customer satisfaction for companies that deliver technical services every day around the world. For more than 15 years, though, Service 800 has been the administrator of CompTIA's Service Metric Customer Satisfaction Measurement and Benchmark Program. And in that role, we've worked with more than 100 technology companies of all sizes to measure or to help them learn how to measure themselves. I'm hoping that our experience and my comments will be helpful to you as you think about why and how you can measure your own customer satisfaction and how you can put that data to work.
So Jean, welcome back. In part one of the three-part series, we talked about what to consider when assessing or starting to measure customer satisfaction. And in the second part, we talked about how to use your customer satisfaction data to make a difference to your business. And in this third and final part, we will be discussing the difference between customer satisfaction, customer loyalty, and a couple of industry measuring tools. So everybody's talking about customer experience and customer success. Can you help us understand the difference and what those actually mean to us?
Well, great place to start, because there certainly are a lot of customer terms floating around these days. We all know CSAT, or customer satisfaction, and probably CLI, meaning customer loyalty index. But lately, it's pretty typical to hear about CX, which is customer experience, and CS, which is customer success. This is probably because most companies are realizing that customer experience, or the customer's perception of the experience, is affecting revenue, renewals, and their business. But isn't it interesting that companies are waking up to the importance of what customers experience and are setting strategies around improving customer experience? That's why we now hear about CXOs, meaning Chief Customer Experience Officer, and Vice Presidents of Customer Success, and other variations on customer terminology. It's about time that organizations are not just measuring customer perceptions, but they're building business strategies around maximizing what they learn from customer feedback. The metric that's probably getting the most press in CLI, customer loyalty, 30 years ago, was from the Burke Institute that talked about loyalty being a three-legged stool and defined customer loyalty as those customers who would give you the best ratings in each of their satisfaction, their likely to repurchase, and their likeliness to recommend you to others. Those three factors have been a standard in measuring customer satisfaction and customer loyalty for all of these 30 years. But only in the last decade has something called NPS emerged as the most popular method to measure customer loyalty.
So can you help us understand why so many companies are measuring NPS?
Well, NPS has indeed established a foothold in the practice of measuring customer experience. I heard the other day that two-thirds of the Fortune 1000 companies in North America are measuring their customers' loyalty using the NPS strategy. So NPS has a basic concept, and its concept is that you can ask your customers just one question, and that one response is all you need to measure their customers' loyalty. The one question is, on a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend or company to your colleagues or friends. So NPS is a single metric, and its philosophy is that you can't count on the loyalty of customers that give you moderate ratings, and the customers that give you poor ratings can quickly erode the impact of customers that give you top ratings. So NPS is calculated by subtracting the percent of your worst responses from the number of your best responses. An example NPS score might look like 64, but it could range widely and might even be a negative number. So what is the right NPS number for you, for your organization, or your industry? Well, it's going to depend on lots of characteristics of your company, but what's most important is how your NPS changes or trends over time. Certainly, an increasing NPS suggests that more of your customers are growing loyal to you, they're willing to recommend you, and their loyalty can certainly relate to your continued revenue. I think that the reason that NPS has become so popular is that it seems really simple. I think board members and analysts like the idea of having just one number to report and to manage. However, most organizations are finding that customer loyalty just isn't so simple, that it takes a lot of information and more understanding of the customer experience to actually move an NPS in the right direction.
So I've also heard of CES, or the Customer Effort Score. Can you tell me how that's different and why it seems to be gaining popularity?
Well, when NPS was introduced, there was a suggestion that if you increased your NPS, your revenue will increase as well. Unfortunately, most companies implementing NPS didn't experience an automatic revenue bump as they focused on and increased their own NPS. So this made an opening to consider other metrics that might in fact correlate better with revenue patterns. So CES was introduced in 2005 and probably got its first traction from a Harvard Business Review article called Stop Delighting Your Customers. By the way, check out that the Harvard Business Review article number R107L. Very interesting article. And it describes both the circumstance and CES. And that CES is measured by asking customers how much effort or how easy was it for you to request service or take delivery or get installs, whatever the service contact was. And what's the most important is that the CES metric is correlating to customer spend. Either they're likelihood to renew or to buy more product. One of the reasons that CES has quickly become popular is that it's a pretty simple concept. Even board members understand that if a service or a product is easy to acquire, there are fewer reasons that customers don't pay more or buy more or renew. If it's easy, it's a more open path. I always tell the story of having my brand new laptop fail and taking it back to my retailer. And my retailer told me, oh, no problem at all. Your device is under warranty. We will take care of it for you. We'll get it sent back. It'll be repaired and it'll be back to you in 2 weeks. Well, I don't know about you, but I rely heavily on my laptop, and the idea of it being away for 2 weeks created some consternation, certainly inconvenience. And that's when individual said, but if you'd like to, we can fix it right now, but it's going to cost you an extra $100. Well, certainly, I didn't like the idea of spending more on a warranty type of service. On the other hand, it was very easy for me because I was already at the service depot, I was already at the desk, and I could spin my wheels for a half an hour while they repaired my problem, and I went happily back to work. In other words, because it was easy, I was willing to spend more money and walked away a happier customer.
So, in your opinion, what's better, the NPS or the CES or something completely different?
Well, the best answer to that question is, what do you want to measure? There is an ongoing discussion and debate about whether one methodology or the other methodology is better. But I think it's better to look at it like this. If your main intent is to measure your client decision maker or your buyer's loyalty and his or her likeliness to continue to buy from you, then use NPS. However, NPS isn't as successful when measuring individual service events, since end user's likelihood to recommend you isn't as impactful or as important as your decision maker's or executive's recommendation. So use NPS to learn if your clients would recommend you. If they won't, you have an alert to something that you'd better be working on. Then if your main intent is to make your customer's experience easier because you appreciate that they'll spend more if they don't have to put a lot of effort into the process, UCS, end users, that is the individuals who are in the service experience, cannot just give you feedback. They can also identify what they need or what you need as improvements that make it easier both for you to deliver service and for them to receive the service. And it's CES that will give you insight on where you put your precious resources to make the biggest impact to improvements.
So regardless of what methodology a company decides to use to measure their customer satisfaction, how can they tell if they're meeting their customer expectations? And if they decide that they're not, how should they address their issues?
Well, one of the best ways that they can react is to understand how their measurements compare to other providers or other service delivery organizations in your community or your service event. So a benchmark is a great way to put a sanity check to a measurement. It's likely that your management or your service team will look at your NPS or your CS score and say, well, okay, that's where we stand, but where is everybody else? And how are we good enough? A benchmark can help you see just exactly what the degree is of difference between where you are and where you want to be. Remember that a benchmark can tell you that you are already at or above a standard level, and that will give you the space to develop and improve areas that where a gap or a difference may be more important. But whichever methodology, NPS or CES, you use, put your energy into having accurate measurements and focus on the trending. Use the feedback and the data associated with the relationship or service event to reveal the characteristics that drive the ratings. Follow that as a roadmap. That's a connection between where you want your customers to be and what element of your service needs to improve to make it easy so that you can follow that roadmap between the metric and the correlation and put your resources on the improvement that's going to make the biggest difference. I thank you for listening today, and thank you for thinking about not just measuring your customer's experience, but also putting that information to work. I hope my comments have helped you think about how you can benefit. Do consider looking into CompTIA's service metric, service quality, and benchmarking program. It's a huge member benefit with free information that can help you drive your actions right away. If you have any questions about what we've talked about or other aspects of measurement and applying the data that you learn, feel free to reach out to me at jmb@service800.com.
Thank you so much, Jean, for sharing your insight on understanding the differences between customer satisfaction, customer loyalty, and two of the leading scoring methodologies. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for part three of this Customer Satisfaction Podcast. And if you have any additional questions, you can contact me, Tanya Stone, at tstone@greatamerica.com. Look for other podcasts that might be of interest to you in the CompTIA podcast library. And thanks for joining us, and have a great day.